Hey everybody, and welcome back to another episode of A to Z. It's been a minute. I mean, not for you guys, because these things come out and we're usually ahead by a couple of episodes. But for those of you that don't know, because you're not in the chat right now, unlike Harrison, it's New Year's. We're back at it again. It's 2021. We're in a whole new year. It's a whole new world. We're gonna see what's up. Aaron says he got some topics, but I'll get to that after I do the actual intro, which is welcome to A to Z. I'm Zero Remsen. I'm going to be your resident Yang. To my right and bottom is Aaron Chase. He's going to be your resident Yin. What that means is I'm going to be the airy fairy, super happy-go-lucky, doofy, passion, like rose-colored glasses guy. And Aaron's very realistic, very pessimistic in the real. And our cores are pretty much the same, but when we come together, we're very much different. And so we share our ideas about certain things. Aaron's been on a journey learning and growing. I've been on a journey learning and growing. And today, Aaron has things he wants to talk about while I look up this thing for a segment that I have later. I just got to find it because I got to remember. Go ahead, Aaron.
Okay. You know how, like, there's never a finish line. Nothing's ever going to be perfect.
Yeah.
But you always lie to yourself and not lie to yourself, but you always, you're like, well, once I start performing at comedy clubs, then it's going to be, once I'm like the feature, and once I hit the road, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so yeah. I'm having one of those moments right now where my fan base on TikTok has grown a lot, actually. And I'm having the most recent video I put up, I'm having a piece of it kind of get a little more views. It's like 2,000 or something.
Okay.
But I find myself getting frustrated because people aren't watching the whole part. You know what I mean? They're not watching part 1 through 5. They're watching part 3 and that's it, which takes out the context from you're making a face at me.
Yeah, because more context for me. What is part 3? What is the video that's blowing up?
I don't want to say blowing up. I'm blowing up relative to my experience of blowing up.
Yeah, but I say count your blessings. I say if it's growing at all, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm interested to know what the thing is that's popping out, especially within the context of it's a part 3 to several things, and everybody's popping on this one. Why is the one, do you think
it's... It's I don't know if you saw the video I posted on my Instagram stories, but it's me dealing with an angry male Karen, old white dude. He's offended. Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen that one, though.
Oh, okay. When you get a chance, take a look at it. But you'd be very happy, actually. If you saw it, you'd be like, wow, Aaron was really calm and kept a lot of
okay.
A lot of control over the situation.
How long is the video?
Each clip is like 40 something to 50 seconds, but there's 5 parts of it.
Okay.
And the third part is where I basically have him calm and he's listening to me. So the first 2 parts, he's kind of yelling. He's trying to get in my face. He's getting aggressive. And I would say the first part, he's just getting straight up aggressive. And I'm kind of like mocking him a little bit. I'm trying to get him to sit down and be calm. The second one, he's still angry, but I'm calming him down. The third part, he is calm and listening. The fourth part, and then the fifth part. But
it's just
kind of, I don't know, there's something about it that bothers me because by the time he's calm, he seems far more reasonable than he actually was the whole time.
Oh.
So if you just watched the third part, it seems like he was offended, but he calmly said something to me about it, and I explained my joke to make sure he wasn't offended anymore. No, it wasn't. Okay. I had to calm his ass down so he didn't hit me or cause problems in front of some kids that were there. Right. And so I found myself getting frustrated about it. I was just bitching to my girlfriend about it. While also being aware, like, why are you complaining? People are liking the video and they're watching it. What are you so upset about? The end. So fix it, Zero. Fix my issue. Okay.
So just as a recap to make sure I didn't miss anything, You're upset because the part that people are jumping in on makes it seem like the guy that you had to work to get that calm was innately that calm.
Yeah. And that there were two videos. I'm adding so much more context now. There were two videos before and after that I prefixed it. I prefixed? Prefaced? Prefaced.
Prefaced.
I prefaced. I was like, look, and it was a racial thing I was trying to express to people. Like, look, you need to understand that I was only calm and in control because I'm used to this, because this is what they do to me all the time.
What are the comments you're getting on it?
People are like, man, you were so calm. Wow, you really handled that well. Oh, man, you kept really good control over that. You're very yada, yada, yada. You communicated well. They're all being positive. And somehow my fucked up brain is like, I need something to complain about.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm just, it's a weird feeling. I think a part of it's coming from anxiety of people actually paying attention.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting that this story started from a place of like the conflict of doing well, like kind of feeling like you're hitting into a level of like, again, you're obviously not there yet. You're still figuring it out. And in relative internet terms, again, we're very aware of where we're sitting.
Yeah.
But you're making growth. You're expanding, and you haven't gotten to comedy clubs. And obviously there's a lot of like COVID with that, but it's like, you do feel growth happening. And so it's interesting that this story that's about you dealing with a person who's, once again, another conflict with you and the racism thing, and you're having to talk in through that, that this was prefaced with, I think there's a conflict going on here that's like weirdly connected, and I'm trying to piece together the puzzle of like why your growth as an artist and getting to your dreams also has to do with this. People are watching this guy be calm who wasn't calm.
I think
because to me, if it was just about the video itself, like I could understand the upsetness that's coming from like people aren't getting the full context. Like it's kind of like if you made a several parter of anything, if you made like a three part anything and people only watched part two, it's like, why aren't you watching part one or part three? Like, at least if you were watching part one, had the most views, part two had less, three had less, it right. makes sense. But when you're jumping in the middle, and then you're not going to get the context from the rest of it, it's just kind of a weird... Now, to be fair, it's the nature of TikTok.
Yeah.
They kind of like, people don't want to do a deep dive most of the time. They just kind of want to, oh, that's what that was. Got it. Like, right. You have a conversation with a guy about a racist issue. Got it. And then they move on, or that's it. Sorry, go ahead.
I think that the starting in the middle is a pet peeve of mine, and I would prefer they watch all of it. But I think the heightened emotions is coming from the anxiety of the fact that more and more people are watching, and it's there's something
Are you worried about how you're coming across?
No, not at all. I come across like you I come across very calm. I keep making videos trying to explain to these people, you don't know me. You don't know how angry I am. Trust me. One of these days, you're going to catch me on a bad day, and you're going to be like, he was a fucking liar this whole time.
Right.
But I think it's coming down to the anxiety of, success is such a big word, but this almost wanting to self-sap, I'm not going to do this, obviously, but the desire to... Fuck it, I give up being a comic.
I can't do it, Zero. I got 2,000 views. It's too much pressure.
I think it's the anxiety of like, oh, shit, people are paying attention. This is happening. I can see it happening. And it's just, it's really hard to wrap my mind around. Like, okay, I'll say one more thing, and then I want to hear your opinion on this. Like, I was going to take a picture with me and my girlfriend because I just got it. Oh, I got a tattoo. You want to see it?
You showed me. Yeah. I think.
Never Is mind. It the one you... Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I saw it and I listened to your reasons for it, which I rock with all those reasons. I think they're pretty dope. If you want to share it with the audience, you can.
It's, yeah, all right. There's one.
Oh, yeah. Put them up for the feet wiki.
It was so painful, Zero.
Yeah?
Indescribable. Probably one of the worst pains of my life.
Interesting.
It's terrible. But I wanted to take a picture with her, okay. And I was going to post it. I kind of don't give a fuck about how the pictures, like, that's not whatever. And okay. I took a picture, and I was just sloppy about it, and I was like, all right, I'm going to post this. And she was like, whoa, hold on. Let me look at it. And she was like, no, we should take another one or something because it looks bad. Okay. And at first I was like, well, why does it matter? And then I realized, like, well, she's not a comic. And people literally at this point across the world are going to see it.
Yeah.
And it's just, it is, I don't know. My perception of fame has slowly but surely dwindled to something that I just kind of don't want in a lot of ways. Mm. It's so anxiety provoking. The idea of it, you know?
Yeah. Cause I mean, it is, again, it's the part that people don't think about until they get it. Yeah. It's kind of one of the better reasons to hold back. As much as everybody wants it like that, as much as the microwave idea, the fast food idea of being famous is fun, to just immediately have the money and the clout and be able to walk around and people go, you're cool, and that's awesome and all this stuff. The other side of that coin is, yeah, I mean, who hasn't seen the TMZ articles? Who hasn't seen the, like, your privacy get violated? Like, yeah, you're taking a picture out with your girlfriend, and yeah, there's the part of it I thought where this story was going, because this is where my brain goes with fame, is like, there's the posting the picture of your girl and she's not looking good and people talk about that or whatever, perceptions, blah, blah, blah. Then I thought this was going, I'm just trying to take a picture with my girlfriend and somebody's like, Aaron Chase! Hey, Aaron!
Oh.
Like, hey, it's me, random person you don't know. Racist stuff, right? White people, right? I know you're trying to have a moment with your girlfriend, but like, come on, connect with me.
We're not, like, yeah. We're not there yet.
Yeah. But I'm just talking about the innate nature of, like, as you go up that ladder, once you get to those points, you don't see the negatives of those things when you're trying to get to it. Only once you get there do you understand that those things have a negative side. Because they say wherever you go, that's where you are. The grass is always greener. A bunch of sayings that essentially chalk down to, we're human beings. You're always going to find a problem wherever you go, which is why it's good to work on your inner self. And all this is saying, it's good to, at least it would, your come up is happening in your late 20s, and especially coming off of the part where, like, you've been working on yourself and, yeah, like, trying to get that all together. It's best to do that before you get famous, because, yeah, again, already we've created a backlog of this podcast already has us in trouble. So that's okay. That's already happened,
dude. I don't think you're in trouble. I think I'm in trouble.
You're in more trouble than me, but in the same way that, you know how Chris Rock was on that Funny People, where it was like him, Louis C.K., Ricky Gervais, and Jerry, all of them talking together. People got on to him, like, only, I would say, like, last year, about in the HBO thing, Ricky Gervais trips up and says the N-word. He doesn't mean it badly. He just is saying it in the way of, like, you and Louis, in your act, say the N-word, and he actually uses it. And they're like, oh, you said it. He's like, and you could see the fear hit him. And he's like, and Chris, like, lets it slide. And everybody lets it slide. And they just keep talking comedy. Well, recently, that all came back out because people who've never seen it before and grew up in this generation of overly sensitive, can't take a thing, were like, Chris, how did you let him get away with that? Why didn't you chastise him for using the N-word? And they started trying to go on Chris Rock. So it's like, by being associated, by all the times that you said what you said, and I wouldn't go, Aaron, no, I'm also done by guilty by association. Yes, you're in worse trouble than I am. But
yeah,
again, cross those bridges when we get to them. That's another level. That's another part of that we'll deal with.
I think that's the part that's first off, I agree. If any of this was happening pre-pandemic, I would not be mentally, emotionally ready for that. But post-pandemic, I know my tools. I know what I need to do. I know, like, all right, put the fucking phone down and yada, yada, yada. I know all of that. But it doesn't take away from the thought and the feeling of it. That's like, it's just such a weird feeling. And it actually reminds me of when we were in real quarantine, and I was talking about how I felt like it was just me. Now everything's separate, and I'm the only one moving forward, and it feels like everyone's stuck because of the pandemic. And so even that makes me feel like a bit of a lone wolf in what I'm doing, and it just feels strange.
Yeah, it's a how do I put this? It's like it's not necessarily a bad thing. I think everybody always uses it in a bad way, but it's like tunnel vision. When you're in your zone, when you're doing your thing and you're focused on you, then it's like that's your lane. Like, so because you're you and you're watching your videos and you see and you're keeping up with your TikToks because you're uploading every day, you see your numbers, you see your growth, you see your come up. And given that you've never experienced anything like this, let's call it what it is. You're not exactly an internet guy in the first place. You're not like online. So all of this is brand new. Like all the idea of 2,000 people even watching, let alone like liking or commenting or any of that stuff, interacting with is another level of actually being a part of it. Then there's just views, which could be as easy as like, oh, it popped up on my thing and they just kept it moving. That's a whole like beast. And you're first now experiencing this as somebody who doesn't interact with the internet like that. So all of this is like brand new to you, as opposed to us who have been like people like me who are consumed with internet all the time, who think about a million views as like, oh, that's everybody gets a million views. That's like your starting point. And it's like, dude, not to undersell how much work it takes to get there. It's just when you're consuming the media that like you're consuming, it's the equivalent of like back in the day, right? Comics who like did not a headliner. What's the thing? Oh man, my comedy chops.
Feature?
The thing before feature. People who did a feature, and if they came out of doing like their first or second feature and were like, I did a room and like there were a lot of people in that room. If you're talking to a certain level of comic, they're going to be like, dude, you're just a feature. It's fine. You're a feature. Like, it's not that big a deal. You did like a second feature. Then there's a level of comic who's like, good, great. That's amazing. Then there's people who just started and are like, you did 20 minutes?
Yeah.
That's insane. And like, it's everywhere, wherever you go, that's where you are, right? It's like, depending on your perspective. So again, to you, to have to deal with those concepts all at once as somebody who's not numb to it, like somebody like me, it's like, woof. It's like, geez Louise.
So you're numb to the idea of this?
I'm numb to the idea of like anything under like internet terms. So the separation between reality and internet,
okay,
where like anything under, I would say 800,000 to me is like you're broken into the algorithm a little bit. But most people don't. You won't get bothered. Like, your life, you could live a whole YouTube life where you're a YouTuber and you pay your bills by being a YouTuber, much like being a comic, and people don't bother you in your daily walk.
Right.
But once you hit, like, into the million views, now you're starting to get into, like, people know you and they want to take pictures with you. You know how, like, during your things, it's like people are asking for your picture or people, like, you get the picture and all this stuff? It's like at the level where you're like in a very specific place and you've made a name for yourself in this bubble, then there's like, it doesn't matter where I go. It doesn't matter where I go. People are going to know me and mess with me. And they have their own YouTube version of TMZ. So I'm numb to it in the way that like, yeah, like a viewer is numb to like like somebody who lives in LA is numb to seeing some celebrities. It's like, yeah, they're just here. But if somebody moved from another state and saw like a celebrity, it's like, holy geez, they walk among us.
I feel like I'm from Idaho in relation to the internet then, because I feel like right now I'm coming off as though I think I'm famous, but I know I'm not famous. Obviously, I'm not, but I guess it's just foreign. It's a foreign feeling. And for someone who has never been supported in what they're doing, it also feels weird to have all these people not only watching, but saying like, yeah, man, keep going. I don't, I can't. You know,
yeah, that's where your trauma on top of it starts to get very fascinating, where you're not only dealing with it as like a new concept of just like people looking at you in general, but also in the way that like specifically you have never been supported. And so to even get support from three people is like amazing. It's like, you guys believe, like you guys want to see me succeed. This is new.
Dude, this was fucking heartwarming. I had a kid message me on New Year's, and he wasn't a long message, but he was basically like, I just wanted to say, man, you really inspired me, and you, something else. And then he said, like, he's been praying to God. I don't know what I said.
Watch that person.
Yeah.
All right, Aaron. New thing. There are some people who are going to love you a little too much. I'm kidding. No, I'm sure he meant it in a sweet way.
Yeah, he's praying to God, not me. As you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right. But it was just, and it keeps happening. When I posted the clips on Instagram Live, dude, so many people were messaging me about it from other countries, like other parts of the world. People were like, yeah, man, I liked how you handled that. It's like, wow, how are you seeing this? What is happening? It's just, I think it's just something I'm going to need to adapt to. Yeah. And I think my reaction to the frustration that they're only looking at part three is the idea that, like, they're not seeing, I think that's what it is. They're not seeing everything. So whenever it pops even more, no one's going to have watched all of A through Z, you know, they don't have.
That's where it's weird. That's where it gets weird. In all of the numbers, there will be some, but most won't. Most won't watch all of it. Most will watch some of it and then leave. Then there's the super people who will watch all of it. Much in the same way that like Patreon exists. There are things that you're like, what? Like, there are tiers in a Patreon. You know what a Patreon is, right?
Yeah, you beg for money on the internet.
Not really. It's more like, instead of being paid by sponsors, people are your individual sponsors. It's like OnlyFans. It's OnlyFans for like entertainers. So it's like, okay, you want to watch my content? I have a tier service that's like $2 a month, and you get my content. Then at another tier, $5 a month, you get my content plus like a thank you. At $10 a month, and it like goes up, and the more you pay a month, the more I do, the more I produce. And sometimes you get like behind the scenes and extra stuff. And at a level, you're like, there's no way anybody would pay for the 100-something-dollar tier per month. But there are. And Patreon will tell you, like, that's the thing. Patreon sells out their artists, because like on YouTube, you can kind of guesstimate how much people make. But on Patreon, it tells you exactly how much they make. It's like, this is how many people follow them. This is how much they're making a month. And it's like, some of the numbers are pretty ridiculous. And it really is a really good argument for, this is where I get in trouble. It's a really good argument for communism. It's a really good argument for like the part of it that's like, if we split the money evenly, then there is enough money for all of us. Because somebody who's like has a like 500 patrons makes like $40,000 a month, and it's like because they found their people, they found the people who are so invested in them that they're willing to pay that kind of money to see any content from them.
It's the pressure, then the pressure of that, like when that kid, it's such a weird feeling, man. When that kid messaged me, part of me was elated. I was like, oh my God, he gives a shit. I did something positive. I without having to make a woman come. Like, it was amazing. Good for me. But then the other part of me is like, how do I live up
to that?
Yeah. How do I forever live up to the idea that like I helped you continue to pray to God? That's a big, that's scary, you know?
Yeah. No, and that's the thing. I want to start by saying, and by start like halfway through this podcast, I want to say you're not crazy for feeling the way that you feel. You're not crazy for when people, because it's innately a part of it, right? People want to believe It's the same way they look at stand-up as a whole, right? They want to believe that you just go up there and be funny, that it's not hard work, that it's not effort, that you're not a human being. You're something special. Because something about that, I don't know, it makes people feel nice. It makes people understand. It's just easier to believe that. And it gives you a sense of relief. Like, you don't have to, like, oh, I can't do what they can do. That's why they get to be that and I don't get to be that. Because if I had to put in that kind of hard work, I don't want to do that. The part of it is laziness, but that's starting to get into a whole other thing. Neither here nor there. Yes, when people are...
Red Hoodie. I remember you, Red Hoodie. Sorry. This is a young lady from France, from what I remember. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
But for somebody to come to you and be like, you're amazing, you're wonderful, you're beyond, like, human, that is a lot to live up to. And essentially, you just have to maintain that, like, that's not on you. People are going to do to you what they want. In the same way that somebody's going to hate you for no reason, somebody's going to love you for very little reason. And they're going to have their reasons. But it's not for you to live. Like, it's for you to live up to the expectations so far as you do the best job you can in entertaining.
Yeah.
But I think it would be good. Have you ever watched or listened to Bo Burnham?
I love Bo Burnham and his specials. I loved his movie Eighth Grade. Before we get into Bo Burnham, can you explain to Red Hoodie what's going on while I pee?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Hi, Red Hoodie. I'm Zero Remsen. I assume that you must have talked to Aaron on Omegle or some other platform on the internet, because otherwise, how could he talk to you all the way in France? Essentially, what this is a podcast that me and him do. I'm also a stand-up comedian. Aaron, I mean, you've probably interacted and seen all his stuff. He's got a lot of great things. But essentially, right now, we're talking about the pressures that he's dealing with. Yep, I had a feeling. We're talking about the pressures that he's dealing with because Aaron's not an internet person. He didn't grow up like using it like the rest of us. So the fact that one of his TikToks has like 2,000 views and a certain amount of likes is really blowing his mind. Like I don't know if when he interacted with you, he wasn't like over the moon, like crazy about the fact that he's talking to you while you're in France. And like, for those of us who came up with the internet, that's not a crazy concept. We've been using it like the back of our hand for years now. But for him, it's like a new experience. So him dealing with the pressures of dealing with everybody, like people starting to support him and like him, and his fame is fan base growing. He's dealing with the pressures of like people being very much about him and living up to that expectations. And I'm trying to help him understand where that's fine. People are going to do that. But it's also like, you just do the best you can. All they want is for you to keep doing you, and don't let that in. Much in the same way you don't let hate in, like hate comments, you also don't really let in the "you're amazing" comments. You appreciate it. You don't go, "I don't appreciate you as a fan. I appreciate you supporting my art." At the same time, you're not to live up to being the reason that somebody prays to God. Like, all your thing is just keep doing you. Because that'll start to mess with the art in your head, and you're never going to live up to that, and you're just going to stress yourself out and break yourself down. Welcome back, and hello.
There was another thing. I realized it as I was peeing.
as epiphanies.
I'm working very hard on forgiveness.
Okay, random. That's a totally, totally different topic.
Well, it'll come back. It'll come back. So when I talk about my mom, I'm going to try to not be so volatile about it and present it in a little more, okay, I like that. This is really interesting. I like this. Oh, awesome. I don't know what you said.
Just for sake of reference while you're here, I should probably plug it. So then if you want to leave, you can leave. We have a bunch of episodes of the A to Z podcast. If you YouTube search Buddy System Comedy,
yeah,
it's a bunch of episodes of this and other Aaron Chase podcasts and stuff. So if you want to check out more stuff like this, just so you don't feel like you're trapped here or that we never do this and it's only live, you can catch this on there. So
yeah, there's a lot of content on that YouTube page.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm trying to not present the stuff with my mom in such a volatile manner.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep that in mind. That's what I'm I am trying to do that. I'm trying to forgive these racist fucking white people, but they're making it hard. Dude, I did an Omegle today where a guy made a literal whole song about how he hated Negroes. He made a song. He came up and he's like,
"Oh, you gotta admit, that's a great bit."
Oh yeah, I didn't skip him. I didn't skip him. He popped up and he was like, "Hey, can I play you a song?" I was like, "Okay."
So wait. Did he have the song ready or he improvised?
He had the song. He pressed play on the song.
Do you think he has a racist song for every group of people?
Yes.
That's kind of amazing.
It was like,
that's so much work for racism.
That's what I was thinking. And that's where the forgiveness comes in, where I'm like, part of me is like, as the comedian in me is like, oh, that's funny. Wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
The human being in me is like, the black man in me is like, dude, fuck this guy. Like, what the fuck? You're going out of your way to, you've taken it this far. And then the human spiritual me is like, This is really pathetic. This is really, but you're spending your time on Omegle waiting for people to show. You spent time.
Yeah.
So what the fuck?
You have to have several songs. There's no way you're waiting around, because it would be sadder if you're waiting around for a black person, which is, it's Omegle. There's not that many black people.
Zero. There was real production. He had a whole trap beat. The only part he clearly didn't hear. You ready for the lyrics, Zero?
I'm ready for the lyrics.
I hate niggers. I hate niggers. I hate niggers. Over and over again. But he had real production over it. It was so weird. Anyway, my mom. Okay, going back to that.
But my mom, though.
So I'm just trying to present this in a less volatile manner.
Okay.
She used to use things like money or gifts or whatever against me. So like, if here's her philosophy of Christmas, get ready.
Okay.
They didn't give you a gift? Well, we're not giving them a gift. That's the thought process.
Okay.
And so the idea, she basically made me feel as though I owed something at all times. Otherwise I was an ungrateful piece of shit. And so now I think what I'm worried about that is transferring into my stand-up and my fan base of feeling as though I owe them something. And part of me thinks that feeling is justified. And I learned that through COVID. Having to do fucking Zoom and IG live shows or whatever, I was like, oh, fuck, the audience is really important. And I think a better way to put it is I should respect the audience's attention because they don't have to be there.
Right.
I don't owe them, but I should respect them, I guess, is the distinction. But then that feeling of like, oh, without them, I am nothing.
Yeah. And it's a very interesting like dynamic that comes from, this is just me. This is how my brain rationalizes. Is it feels like it comes based in that old school, everybody's heard it before, the customer is always right.
Yeah.
And one of the things that stuck out to me, I don't know if I've mentioned this before on here, but like one of the things that when I was younger, I was working for an amusement park and we were going through orientation. And one of the things my boss said to me that always stuck with me was the customer is always right is a saying that made sense and was good before the customer knew that. But once the customer knows that, they're doing whatever they want and they're taking advantage of the system, and you have to have boundaries. You have to have limits. You have to have standards. And so I think that seeps into everything because at the end of the day, entertainment is just another form of customer service. It's another form of giving to people an exchange of value has happened. You give me your attention, I give you the funnies. You give me money, I give you the funnies. And since that's the exchange policy, they are a customer, they are watching you, then you feel like this, like, well, I have to please them. But people have taken that too far. And I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I watched this one video that really grossed me out. And it was weird because I don't support the Paul brothers, like the Jake Paul and the Logan Paul guys. But way back when they were at their worst, this lady brought her kids around their house. Like, they had doxed themselves, and people go by and take pictures all the time. But, like, he was outside, and she brought out a lady. The lady brought out her kids, and they were filming. And she was like, hey, take pictures with them, all this stuff. And he was like, I got to be somewhere. And then she's like, you got to take the pictures with them because they're your fan base, and you owe them, and you have to. And I was like, he doesn't have to do anything. Like, it's a give and take. It's not a take and take. Right. So it's like, I think there's a weird dynamic that's been happening, and it's always happening between fans and the people that they look up to. And it is a matter of, like, you as the person who is the person, right? Like, the entertainer, as that person, it's your job, like the parent, to corral that, to temper expectations, to control. Much like how you control an audience, it's important that you control the relationship between you and them. If you make it so much, like how Patrice O'Neal used to say, if you show them that, like, they can affect you, then you've lost. But if you, like, own it and just go, that's what I'm going to do, I'm going to do me, and then do your thing, then you're fine.
I think that I agree. But I think the problem I'm running into is that I approach comedy very differently than a Patrice O'Neal. So
that
Patrice
most people do.
Yeah. Patrice had this fuck you attitude about himself.
Absolutely.
I don't at all. In fact, part of my hook is the opposite of that is, no, I'll listen to your feelings. is like that when you were like, I give you the funnies and then you give me money. In a lot of ways, I'm not even being funny. Like, and I did that on purpose because I wanted to work on that skill. Like, I'm working on the comedy. There's jokes. But in a lot of ways, I'm not even being funny. And that seems to be what's drawing people in many facets of this.
Right. And I would say, like, it's definitely a part of it. And again, I'm not going to fault you for doing that or going about it that way. It just, then it becomes that other dilemma that you have where it's like, Are you a public speaker or are you a comedian?
Right.
And then you're dealing with people looking at you like the public speaker because they're like, you're not giving me the funnies for my money. You're giving me like spiritual guidance. You're like giving me like a sense of comfort that somebody will listen to me, that I have like a faith in you, that you're saying what I'm too afraid to say. It isn't that it's funny. It's that you're just speaking to me, which, to be fair, I feel like also now that we're talking about it, it just clicked a light bulb in my head. I also think that might be why you get the harsh other side of the responses because your thing isn't, because when I do or another comic does jokes, it's so focused on making the joke. It's so focused on like getting the laugh. Whereas yours is like, yeah, sometimes I'm not being funny. Sometimes I'm just speaking my truth or whatever. Because yours is mostly speaking your truth. That what's up? Because yours is mostly speaking your truth. That people take it as seriously as it should be taken. Because it's just like, I'm saying what I mean. Like, I'm just saying what I mean is different than I'm making a joke. And when you're saying what you mean, then everybody's taking it seriously. So the harsh things that people, the racist and all the other people that get really mad at you are because you're not leaning on the sofa that is like, it's a joke. Chill out. Like, freak it out. It's like, no, I'm saying what I'm saying. And if you find it funny, that's cool. But like, I'm just saying what I'm saying.
I've been getting better at the comedy part of it. I think I've said this a million times. I'll keep saying it. I think I'm doing comedy backwards. I think I'm fucking it up. Not fucking it up. I'm just doing it differently.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine to approach it a different way.
I mean, but most people, I think it's fair to say, most people approach being a stand-up comedian as, I want to be funny, I want to tell jokes. And then as they get matured and they have time, then it starts to be more nuanced and they start to add other aspects to it. I'm doing the reverse, where I'm like, I'm going to talk and be nuanced and express my feelings and see if I can articulate an idea. And then funny is coming second. Now I'm learning how to be funny. And it's so backwards that it's just so weird. And you know what else is, sometimes I feel like it's not real.
Huh.
Like I have genuine, every now and again, when I think about it too much, there's a disconnect where I'm like, am I crazy? Did I get knocked out and then I'm dead or I'm about to die and this is just... You know,
I had complete tangent, but I'm going to cut it off real quick. I also have had that happen a lot in the way of like, sometimes I have these days where I'm like, am I dead? Am I dead? And this is just like, my brain is playing out a scenario that like, you know how they say like when you die, you have like a millisecond, but the way you experience that millisecond is for so long that it feels like eternity. It's like, what if this is all a super projection of like my brain going like, this is what would happen with the rest of your life if it was real, but you're dead.
And
I always come back to, I don't think I would fathom a you in my mind. Like I don't think I would fathom my friends and everybody's individual suffering. I think in my mind that if I did die and created some world, it would be like, I definitely wouldn't have pictured COVID. I wouldn't have been like, you know what would be interesting for the rest of my days? A worldwide pandemic.
Yeah. Yes. And I go back to reality pretty quickly. But I guess because it's been so long and for so many years, basically everyone told me that it is impossible and I'm not good enough and I'm not talented enough and I'm not funny enough, all that stuff. That now that it's happened, and even being back then feeling crazy, because in my head knowing like, no, I know I can make this work. It's just a matter of working at it. I think that's a lot of the anger I have towards our society as a whole right now is like,
meta.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It just like the bullshit. I don't know. What, you were going to show me something on YouTube?
All right. So welcome back to the other half of the podcast, you guys. This part is the part where Zero takes the reins and we start talking about things that are silly to me. Today we're doing the second episode of, man, what did I call it? Not React. React is another thing. Hold on. Okay. Well, I'll send him the video right now.
I can type it on YouTube.
It's fine.
Okay.
I already got copied. And I've just got to open up a little tab here.
Are you putting it on Facebook?
Yes, I'm sending it via Facebook.
Via
the Book of Face.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second episode of not React. What is it? It's Punch Up. Punch Up. That's what it's called. And in this segment, what we do is I send Aaron a video of a bad movie or a bad show or a scene, and we go through it and laugh/ what would you do to fix the scene? How would you make it better? So
Samurai Cop?
Zero. Yes, this is another famously bad movie. Another very well-known bad movie if you've ever heard of Samurai Cop. I believe it's from the 80s, like late 80s. So tell me when you're at zero and we'll watch the first scene and then
you want me to go to zero? Because it started at 4:48.
Yeah, go to zero.
Okay. All right, I'm at zero.
Ready?
Yep.
On three. 1, 2, 3.
Got it.
Get
back to your place.
Wait. That was the helicopter?
That was the scene, yeah.
Okay, you want to start?
No, you start. I've seen these clips.
How the fuck did this guy have a conversation? So, for context for the people watching, so
when I edit this, when we're watching it, I'm going to play the video. So, okay. Then they will have what we saw.
Should I explain it to the people watching right now?
Oh, I guess that's true. Yeah, they're not seeing it. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So, there's a helicopter, and this lady's looking down from the helicopter. She's in the air. The fucking helicopter's going. The propellers are spinning. And fucking karate Tommy Wiseau is on the ground looking up at the lady being badass, I guess, and having a conversation as if they were right now, like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, it was just jarring. It was weird.
Yeah. Oh, the next one's really good.
Oh, my God.
How would you fix it?
How would I fix it? Give him an earpiece. Give him a fucking earpiece. What are you doing? Even the Avengers figured that out. Like, there's a point where...
Oh, man, wait, now I'm offended. Even the Avengers. The Avengers is a good movie.
No, I'm saying... I'm saying, like, the logistics of that. I remember thinking for a little bit, like, how are they going to have all these characters talk to each other? It's like, oh, no, they just have the little earpieces. You just assume they have the earpieces. They can all communicate with each other. So, yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I'm a pretentious asshole.
You're ready? No, I think it's fine. Obviously, I would fix essentially the same thing. I don't know if I would even have him gesture at the sky because, I don't know, still also feels kind of like... Also, even the way it's shot is like, why wouldn't you do like an aerial shot of the guy instead of like the him on the ground where it is like, cut to them, cut to the guy. I would switch up the shot. But... So the next part... Hold on. I'm letting the people who are here know that if they want to watch along, they can type in Best of Samurai Cop on YouTube. All right. At 17 seconds, and on three. Ready? 1, 2, 3. So that was the scene.
Okay. So first off, the fucking editing.
Don't you love him? Every single person. Hey, I want to talk to you for a minute. And he just, every single person says the same thing to him as they're walking up.
It's his trigger. You didn't know, Zero?
No, I didn't know that was his thing. I want to talk to you.
That's what his stepdad also would say to him right before burning cigarettes into his forearms.
I mean, boy, and he's got it. And it's also that, like, he's a doctor. He's clearly a doctor, but he knows hard kung fu.
Do you enjoy watching these?
Oh, I love these so much.
Why?
So much. Because it's like there are two there are two types of learning. There's learning from someone amazing, looking at somebody who's made great things and going, that's what I want to be, emulating and kind of adding your own flair to what they brought to the table. Then there's like somebody so bad that it's like, as long as I don't do that, I'll be okay. like just don't do this. So there's like learning from good and there's learning from bad. And I like watching bad to be like so stunned at like, I don't understand. And like kind of comparing it to like, so if it's good, bad, and in the middle is like mediocre or okay, trying to figure out why this isn't here. Because they're always off in these ways that are like, I can't fathom.
Right.
And like there's obvious ones where it's like, oh, acting's bad or writing's bad. But then there's stuff like the way things are shot. Or like you were just saying, like editing, where it's like, why did you... Oh, that's not what they do. What they do in the regular ones or the good ones are they make an interesting camera angle or they cut it where it makes sense. They don't do it too fast or too slow or too jarring or the audio is where it's supposed to be, like stuff like that. And so I get very fascinated in that world. That's why I love Christmas movies because they're all so paint by numbers bad that it's like either it doesn't make sense or it's so bland that I'm like, why is this so bland? Like, why am I not invested in these characters? And then I go down the rabbit hole of figuring that out. Because my dream at the end of the day is to be a writer. And so I look at those and I learn from them in that way.
Wait a minute. You don't want to be a comedian?
Mm-mm. Comedians is the immediate, it's like the, how do I put, it's a version of writing. It's a version of writing where I'm like figuring out a more one-to-one, it's more immediate gratification. And not that I don't love it. I absolutely love doing it. But at the end of the day, I'd rather like tell a classic film or TV story. And so that's, for me, comedy is one of the stepping stones to get there.
It's interesting.
I also have some scripts on the side and all that jazz.
As far as the clip, mostly, well, so many things, but specifically specifically the editing. So it cuts at points that don't make sense to your brain. Mm. So when you see they're on the stairs and then the guy, he kicks the guy or something on the stairs. Then all of a sudden they're down the stairs running.
Yeah.
Your brain assumes that the first thing is connected to the next thing is connected to the next. It's a train car. And so your brain can't, it's like jarring. It's hard to keep up with what's going on because that doesn't make sense in your head.
I get what you mean. It's like, if you're going to show them going down the stairs, like finish them going down the stairs before you cut to the next thing. Dro saying, what movie y'all talking about? Just drop the name casually. It's Samurai Cop.
That's not casual at all.
Two best of Samurai Cop. We're not about casual here. We address the comments directly. But I would say, if we're talking editing, I would also just, for me, it's like the unnatural, because it's ADR'd clearly. It's clearly recorded after the fact, and then they come in and they say their voice. It's like, if you're gonna ADR it, like, have it make sense that it's not like a him walking up at a fast pace. Hey, wait a minute, I want to talk to you. Hey, wait a minute, I want to talk to you. Like, maybe don't say the exact same thing several times, especially if it's cops trying to get at somebody who's beating up other cops. Maybe they should be more angry now that he's beating up cops. Like, hey, stop it. Don't do that. Like, what are you doing?
So, watching those are a real testament to good filmmaking, I guess, like what you were saying, the comparing and contrasting. But I will let you – how much more time do we have?
We have 7 minutes.
Okay, I will let...
No, never mind. We have 1:30. Oh. My eyes looked like 2, but it wasn't. It was an 8. Okay. So, we should probably wrap up.
Yeah.
So, thank you guys for those of you that are still in the chat and watched all the way through. Who's still in here? We got Dro and, hey, Francisco decided to stick it out for the rest. So we appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in to A to Z. Here is the part where I link all the stuff. You can watch all of our episodes on the Buddy System Comedy YouTube page. All our episodes are up there. We upload pretty much weekly unless I mess up in some regard. You can find me at @0_KRAnime on Instagram and TikTok. You can also YouTube my stuff by searching Zero Remsen. And you can find Aaron Chase at AaronChase91 on Instagram, TikTok. And if you search Aaron Chase on YouTube, you might have to put Aaron Chase stand up, but you can find his stuff because there's a lot of Aaron Chases in the world. That's the only reason. So thank you for rocking with us. We appreciate you watching yet another episode. And maybe next time we'll actually have Aaron explain his tattoos, because all he got to say was that they were painful to get. And he does actually have a very interesting reason behind them. But until then, see you next time. Peace.